Welcome to the Fast Car. Fuck it. They don't call it the Speedway for nothing. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Keep in mind that we never, ever let the truth get in the good way of a good story.
We don't.
We don't. And we are on vacation, so shit's going to happen today. I am so sorry.
I mean, it's a good thing that we record most of our podcasts while drinking, so hopefully there shouldn't be too much of a drop in quality.
It's really a managing expectations mode.
Yeah, we're a little drunker today than we usually are, so you've been warned. You might like it less, or you might be really, really entertained.
Hopefully the latter.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. So today, we're on vacation, but oh my god, shit went down.
There's been so much fuckery in IndyCar.
It's driving me up a wall.
And we don't have good internet service. I mean, we are trying to keep up with things.
We are 6 hours behind.
We're in Hawaii because my friend Sabina and Noel, they are getting married. So, and that happens tomorrow. Sunday. So congratulations to Sabina and Noel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they listen to this podcast because they're not really race fans. Although Sabina did come one year the night before the race, and she loves red wine. And so she was hitting the red wine hard with my mom.
Nice.
She was going for rookie of the year until about 9 o'clock at night when I was upstairs. I ran upstairs to change clothes and I find Sabina just standing in the hallway, kind of looking at each bedroom with a confused look on her face. And I go, honey, did you need something? She goes, I need to take a nap. She had gone upstairs and then she couldn't figure out which bedroom would be best to go in. And I said, you can just go right in on my bed, lay down. But I'll tell you what, she woke back up and she rallied and she started drinking again. And that is hard to do after red wine.
Oh, yeah.
She went right back to the red wine. So she has come to the race. So we could probably get them to listen to this.
Maybe. We said congrats on their marriage.
Yeah. You know. Congrats to them. And thank you for getting married in Hawaii. So yeah, we could justify this vacation.
Because it wouldn't have happened at any other reason.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, we're not cheap. We're frugal.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I will spend money on things that are worth it. But sometimes it's hard for me to justify that to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So today on this podcast, we're going to talk about Iowa that happened about a week ago. We're going to talk about Toronto that's happening tomorrow.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk about the straight fuckery that's been going on with IndyCar. And I believe that's the only word to describe what the shit just happened the past few days.
Yes.
I mean, so many rumors about Penske, about Andretti Autosports, multiple Andretti Autosports rumors.
Yes.
Multiple Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport rumors. Motorsport, just pick one, guys.
I know.
I can't handle it.
I feel like they're interchangeable.
I think that they are.
Yeah. I mean, autos have motors.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry on that one.
Yeah, you know what, we're on vacation. We're not sorry for a goddamn thing this week.
Not a thing. Not a thing. All right, so let's review the race that happened just about a week ago today. It was qualification for Iowa.
It was. I attempted to watch the race. I got to watch part of it.
Yeah.
Molly and I, neither one of us have cable, and so we piggyback off of friends and family who do so that we can access apps.
So shout out to friends and family.
Yep, especially Sherry and Mike. They are NASCAR fans, but they have given us the most recent hookup so that we can use the NBC Sports Nation
app. Which is fantastic.
So thank you, Sherry and Mike, and they will listen to this. In fact, we're actually going to be sitting near them for the Brickyard.
I'm excited. So
we are very excited.
We caught up on the Iowa 300. I watched it. You didn't, but we watched it in Minnesota while we were waiting on our layover.
While we had a nice long layover. Although I will say I watched part of it
in
real time on YouTube. I was watching part of it, and then IndyCar shut it down because you're not allowed to just broadcast it. I get that.
Fine.
I mean, I think it's bullshit, but I understand it.
It is what it is.
But they can do something called a live review where somebody that is, you know, has their own page can video it. And as long as they're talking during it and are discussing things about the race, it's them live reviewing. So IndyCar won't shut that down. And I happened upon this YouTube page And I got to go back and figure out what this kid's name was. But he could not have been older than 12 years old. And he was funny as shit. Oh my gosh. He was so hilarious. And he had mad respect for the Indy 500. So I was like, he's, I mean, just full of sass and judgment. I mean, just like we are when we watch. And so during my breaks when I was able to watch that from work, it was doubly entertaining for me because of this 11-year-old that was schooling other people that were commenting on his page and talking shit.
Which is why I'm excited about tomorrow. We're going to watch the Toronto together. We've not watched a race together on TV.
No, we have not.
This is going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
It will be fun.
But back to Iowa, which is what happened a long time ago. So just to hit on quals like super, super quickly, because everybody knows now what happened. One of the things that stuck out to me was half of the drivers, you know, they ran their two laps and then they're about a driver or two behind, and the IndyCar radio was like, so what did you think about the track? Nearly half of the drivers were like, yeah, the track is really slick, which was important because, you know, you had a lot of different speeds going out there. And then again, in the race, you had a lot of, well, like we thought a lot of people were going to hit it. Not as many as we thought, but still three people isn't bad in a 300 lap. Not 300 miles.
Yeah, we thought it was 300 miles. It was 300 laps.
Yeah, we didn't have our math right on that one.
Nope.
Happens. So that was interesting. Carlos Munoz had some issues here in quals. It was turn two. I'm looking at my little notes post-race.
Yes.
That's right. I'm excited. Little notes here. Let's see. Marco Andretti. I don't know what to say about Marco on this race. That hasn't already been said and already been beaten to the ground.
Well, I'm just going to read your first bullet point. Under Marco just says, Jesus, fuck, Marco.
Well, he had fucking issues in qualifying. And he, like, this is my favorite moment of quals. And I think I texted this to you, was that he was really slow. And somebody on the radio was on IndyCar Radio, which is how I listen to quals, was like, yeah, Marco said his car was acting up and was broken. And whoever was commentating was like, okay, sure, fine, Marco. Like, they don't believe him.
Well, and I think they inspected it, and the car was not, in fact, broken.
No, it wasn't, because then, spoiler alert, he got into the race and did not do that well either.
Shocker.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Hasn't been on a podium in 2 years.
Just saying.
I mean, I really, maybe you know how I feel.
Everybody knows.
I feel like if his last name was A, I really don't think he wants to be a driver. And so I don't feel as bad talking shit because I really don't think deep down that he gives a fuck.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that if his last name was not Andretti, I don't think that he would still have a full-time ride.
I agree.
There are plenty of other drivers who I think are better drivers than him that do not have full-time rides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
So he had issues during quals, didn't do that well. Well, Will Power won the pole.
Did.
So Will Power was the pole sitter. He was sitting on that pole.
Yeah, he was.
Which is not a comment of...
Yeah, Talladega Nights. Which is not a comment on his sexuality.
He was the only person at 185 plus miles per hour, which was pretty impressive to me.
Absolutely, because there's not very much of that track where you're not
turning. Yeah, it's almost a continuous turn.
Because it's so short.
Yeah, another thing I thought was very interesting, speaking to my OCD heart, was that our favorite serial killer, Alexander Rossi, who I'm repping.
Yeah, you are. She's wearing the clutch and chill.
In the nice summer colors, because we're on vacation.
Well, it's America colors, red, white, and blue.
It's also America colors.
Yeah, it's America.
Come on.
Although I said that, you know, since we think that Russ is a serial killer, that when he finally gets caught, instead of clutch and chill, I'm gonna make sure it's a say snatch and kill.
I would buy that. I'd buy that T-shirt too.
Right?
Pay for his legal defense.
Yeah, you do it pro bono.
What? Anyway.
Molly's got the biggest crush on Rossi.
I don't have a crush on him.
You have a little bit of a crush on him.
It's a little bit of a crush. But I also think he's a good driver. I'm excited to see what he can do.
And you also want to live.
Well, that too.
But you'll know if Molly's suicidal if she actively starts pursuing dating Alexander Rossi. That's how you'll know.
Okay. So. Anyway, back to my original
statement. Okay, so continue. He was very consistent.
He was consistent in his two laps on quals, which I think speaks to being a good, consistent driver.
I agree. To not have much variation mm-hmm. between your laps, I mean, that definitely shows consistency. It shows a lot of control mm-hmm. And understanding of your vehicle and your skills and what you can do. I think that speaks volumes to his skill.
Yeah.
And his experience, even though he is not, I mean, it's only his second year.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was in other leagues prior to IndyCar, but...
He was in F1 for a bit.
Oh, he was in F1 for a bit. Mm-hmm. I always forget that.
I do my homework.
Because you're obsessed with him.
Oh, I don't think you have room to talk.
I have no room to talk.
I believe I just Googled when I was doing my research.
Well, that's fair.
Okay.
But yeah, he is a very consistent driver, mm-hmm. and that is definitely something that if I were a team owner, I would want, is somebody that has consistency. I mean, hopefully consistently places, you know, in the top five.
Yeah.
But that consistency shows that even if you were to change something to make it better, that he would still withhold that consistency, you know, if he were to have something that had helped him finish better or any of that.
New drinking game for this podcast. Every time Abby says consistency, take a shot. Go back the past 3 minutes. So on to the race. So let's just get the hard news out of the way. Our boy Connor.
Connor Car Watch.
Sorry, diabetes lost.
Diabetes lost this week.
It lost. He did not finish the race. He was doing very well.
He was.
He had to pit early, so that put him behind. Mm-hmm. But he was catching up. He was doing well trying to catch up from that pit. And about lap, what did I write down? 175. Oh, that's right. I wrote the lap number down. Hit it, turn four, then flipped over to turn one, hit it, and then had to come out. So it's unfortunate. I think it's that car issue.
I agree. We need a smudging.
We do need a smudging. I got people who can smudge.
Yeah.
Connor, I'm just saying.
Let's get some sage up in that bitch.
We can smudge it down for you.
Absolutely.
Oh, Marco.
Oh, Marco.
I don't even know what to say.
So, he was slow the entire fucking race. And I will say, with this track, it is very easy to get behind the leader and to be out of sync on the lap.
Especially when you pit.
Because, yeah. What did you say? People get three laps behind?
It's three laps behind when you pit, especially if you pit off, I don't know, whatever the special word they use, but if everybody's pitting on laps 170 and you end up having to pit like 165, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and so it is very easy to get out of sequence with everybody else. But typically, if you are not on the lead lap, you want to fight your way back to the front, but maybe you heed to drivers who are on the lead lap and have a chance of actually fucking winning the race.
Just saying.
And when we watched the video in the Minnesota airport, we noticed that, I mean, Marco was all over the track. Technically, it's not blocking, it's defending, because he was defending his line, but his line was erratic at times, and I'm actually surprised he wasn't cited by race control, because some of it looked like blocking to me, or if not blocking, then just shitty driving. He was causing traffic backup and causing issues, and I'm really, well, when we watch it on the video, we don't get to see the flags that are thrown, unless it's like a red or a yellow.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he got blue flagged, but I can't imagine he did.
I can't imagine.
I feel like had we been at that race live and we had played the blue flag drinking game like we did at the Indy 500.
Oh, my God.
We would have been too drunk to fly. We would not have been allowed on the plane. Because I feel like he had to have gotten blue flagged multiple times.
He must have.
And so, yeah, his team should have brought him into pit sooner.
Oh, my God. Because if he was truly having issues with the car, bring the car in. Don't let the car sit on the track.
No. No, definitely not. So, rumor...
Internet rumor,
and we have no basis for this.
but we're still going to report on it anyway.
Oh, yeah, we're still going to report on it. There's an internet rumor that he might be cut from the Andretti team, which, if that really happens, I'm going to giggle like a schoolgirl.
It's going to be... Our Twitter account will just blow up.
I mean, again, I don't think that he would have a full-time ride if he wasn't Marco Andretti. I think that if his dad and grandpa did not own a team and he wasn't an Andretti with the way that he's been driving the last couple seasons, I don't think that he would continue to have a full-time ride.
Right.
I really doubt that they would actually cut him. I mean,
no.
They
won't.
No.
No.
I mean, my mom, when we play Flip Cup the night before the race, and she's, I mean, year after year is reigning MVP for Flip Cup. She's fucking amazing at Flip Cup. But she cut my sister one year from the team. She called for a substitution. And my sister goes, "You're really going to cut me?" My mom goes, "Sweetheart, you know I love you. But you really suck at this game. So, yes, you're off. You're off the team." And so, but I don't think you can do that with IndyCar racing. I mean, this is...
I think you can.
I mean, I think you can, but I don't think you can ever have a normal Thanksgiving or Christmas again.
Well,
I mean, I'm not going to the Andretti Christmas, so it doesn't hurt me at all.
As somebody who never has a normal Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Well, that's true. I don't either, so I don't know.
Yeah. Sponsored by red wine.
Right? I mean...
They're Italian.
I had a Christmas
get
wine.
Get on it, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, my Christmas stories are not safe for work. In fact, they're not even safe for this podcast most of the time.
No.
So, but yeah, so I... Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the problem was, and they consistently said, he was causing traffic issues. The leaders were having to fight to get around him, and so people were being passed as leaders trying to pass Marco. And I think that really fucked it all up.
It did fuck it all up. And in fact, Graham Rahal, they did a post-race interview with him, and he talked about how there was a lack of courtesy from some of the slower drivers during this particular race. And he apparently, okay, so I'm just going to read what he said. "I'm really proud of the GEHL team."
Gail?
I don't know. Yeah. "I wanted to win today, so I'm disappointed with fifth, which is a good thing. We had a good day and got solid points. Would have liked to have gained on Will and Alio. I actually felt I had a car that was equally as good as theirs, but the track position became hard. As I said during the broadcast, under the red flag," which... By the way, apparently during the red flag, he broadcasted over the radio to the rest of the racers. "I attempted to find some recording of this and was unable to, and probably for a good reason. But apparently he tore in to people during the red flag of this race because of the slower cars not getting the fuck out of the way for people that actually had a chance at winning or getting on the podium. So I just would have loved to, if we had been there, we could have heard it on our radio. It just would have been beautiful.
Oh my God.
"So as I said during the broadcast under the red flag, the guys just kept moving up on the high line, which is fine. That's their right to choose a lane, but that was where I was comfortable running. So we lost some space. The guys did a great job though. We've just got to keep our heads down and keep finishing in the front. We're going to Toronto, and after what happened in Detroit, hopefully that will set up and translate and we'll have a great race there too. Blah, blah, blah." But he basically said that there was a lack of courtesy from the other drivers who were not even close to being able to finish. Yeah, this one didn't have everything that the audio had. But, I mean, these other drivers that were not even close to finishing were fucking up people. I mean, because Rahal finished, what, fifth? Yeah, he finished fifth, and then Carpenter was sixth. Mm-hmm. And so Carpenter and Rahal both could have finished better. But then they had people like Marco Andretti that were, you know, acting like it was NASCAR, three lanes wide.
I mean, they were three wide a few times, which, by the way, I've watched and rewatched the three wide between, it's TK, Hinton, I can't remember who that third was.
On this race?
Yeah, on Iowa. It was either...
Oh, no, are you in Texas? Or
no,
Iowa.
Iowa,
okay.
Either
oh, yeah.
Ram
yeah,
it was Ram or RHR.
I don't remember.
And I don't remember, but I will say for being three wide, shout, I mean, Hitch gets some props because he was able to go around him and pass both of them.
Oh, and he drove like a beast.
He was like, "I'm taking this." I mean, he did. But
and he really, I mean, he drives like he has no fear. I mean, which
well,
you have to. You have to have no fear in a sport like this.
I mean, he also nearly died once. And he's like, eh.
He's like, fuck it, I'll risk it.
I've already died once.
He's like a cat. He's like, I got 8 lives left. Bring it, bitch. He does look kind of cat-like, too.
Well,
apparently
I mean, when
he dances, he dances, yeah. So he's very, spry.
I mean,
jump it all nimbly, bimbly from limb to limb.
Full disclosure, I've never seen him on Dancing with the Stars.
I actually have.
Wow.
My mom watches Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay.
You know what? We had issues with our internet, and I couldn't get my Apple TV box to work up in my bedroom. And sometimes you're just drunk and don't want to walk upstairs, and I'm like, fuck it. Like, I'll play a game on my phone while Dancing with the Stars is on. And then I looked up, and I was like, that's an IndyCar driver. And she goes,
it is? I love your mom.
She goes, I thought they said that, but I didn't recognize them.
Of course not.
Of course not.
But that's interesting that Graham said that all on the radio during the red, because prior to...
He mentioned, yeah. That,
like, he had not said a damn thing over the radio.
No. And then he laid in everybody.
Then he was like, it's on.
Right. Listen, as my dad would say. So this is a famous quote from my dad. This is a Joeism, which is, listen up, motherfucker. And so I feel like that's how Rahel started. Listen up, motherfuckers. You better get the fuck out of the way. You're not on the lead lap. And let us pass and drive our cars.
Look, I get trying to defend your position.
Absolutely.
I get trying to race, but...
But when
you are last,
hindering the progress of the race.
It's flow of traffic. You are impeding the flow of traffic. GTFO.
Yeah. Well, and it almost, I mean, if it was teammates, you would almost suspect collusion. You know, if it was somebody who's not on the lead lap locking other people, that would almost be grounds for suspecting collusion, right? Well, and another thing that Graham Rahel mentioned is that those specific circumstances, because it is so easy to not be on the lead lap on that track, in the driver's only meeting with race control and the racing commissioner, that exact circumstance had been discussed in detail, and they had been told, get the fuck out of the way.
Did I ever tell you my driver's only meeting story?
No.
I think I texted it to you.
Oh, I don't know.
It was at the GP. It was when I was working at the Driven to Save Lives track. So we're sitting in our garage, we're talking, we're meeting people, and all of a sudden we start looking up, and like three drivers walk past, and we're like, well, that's interesting. I wonder where they're going. And then like, Hinch walked by himself, and of course, in my mind, I'm like, why is he alone, and why is there not a minder with him? Because that's how I live.
Yeah.
Like, why is somebody not showing him what to do? Somebody should be with him. And then we saw, like, Tony Kanaan.
Because in Molly's mind, the drivers are really, like, giant kids who should have a babysitter at all times, which I don't disagree with.
Prove me wrong. I mean, I feel
no,
like
I don't
yeah.
disagree with that.
Fight me on that one. That one is 100% true. Somebody
hashtag
should be with them.
Fight Molly.
Yes. Start that hashtag. Hashtag fight Molly. Fight me. I'm right. So TK drove past, and then Rossi drove past, and then we saw a couple of more, and all of a sudden, like, two garages down, and we were like, fuck, they're having their driver's meeting right next to us.
Yes!
Yes! And we just all stood there and stared out of our garage, watching as they all left.
Oh, I would have had the biggest Ladywood for that.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. I probably would have come a little bit.
Well... Maybe.
Just a touch.
There was a lot of... I feel like I sent you the pictures. Oh, I might have sent them to our Rookie of the Year.
You may... Well, I also worked the night before.
That's true. I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying I was pretty sleep deprived, so I don't know that...
But it was
exciting.
I mean,
you very well could have sent them to me, but when I'm sleep deprived, it's like...
You just wonder what goes on in those meetings.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of good information, but I also feel like they call people the fuck out. Like,
I hope that they do.
I mean, I would. If I was running the meetings,
first
I absolutely would.
We should just run the meetings.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome.
Hashtag, we are race control.
We are race control.
Just do it, guys.
I mean, like, I've been a charge nurse at different jobs, and we, most jobs, we have a pre-shift huddle, which I like to call the cuddle.
Nice.
And I call it the cuddle because there are very few things about me that are warm and fuzzy. And so when I call it the cuddle, it disarms people a little bit, and then they're not as offended by what I say. Because I'm just straight honest. Like, just say, okay, guys, it's been a hard day today. You know, this person's a train wreck. This person's a shit show. This person has crazy family members, blah, blah, blah. Like, these nurses have a rough assignment. So if you hear their, you know, if you hear their call lights, if you see them running around, help your neighbors, blah, blah, you know, just lay it out. But I mean, I would call people out occasionally. I'd be like, and so, you know, last time you worked, you had blinders on. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I would have a conversation privately first. But if the private conversation doesn't work, I will call you out in front of everybody.
That makes sense.
I'd be like, listen, I'm going to need you to... Open your eyes, and pay attention to your fucking neighbors, and be a good nurse.
I feel like that's good news, good advice both in the hospital and on the track.
Agreed.
Pay attention to what the fuck is going on.
Right,
and
you are not the only driver on the track. You are not the only
spotters.
Person in this world.
Get new spotters. If they're not helping you, get you some new spotters.
Yeah. Like, you are not the only, and be aware of the other drivers. And again, like we talked with the Texas, you have to have this level of trust.
Exactly.
And a not even just a trust in the other driver, but a trust in their abilities and in their instincts.
Well, speaking about other drivers and their ability and instincts, do you want to talk about Ed Carpenter's?
I do. Oh my gosh. Okay.
You burst into the room. So excited.
So excited.
He said,
so,
guess what Ed Carpenter did? And I was like, oh, file the temporary restraining order against
you. Like, Molly's like, it finally happened. You're gonna make me do legal work on vacation? I'd outsource that for vacation. I would.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, to Kelly. I'm not going to pay for it.
No, obviously to Kelly. Yeah.
To another attorney.
To
I know.
My co-counsel, Avi.
Avi.
Yeah.
So, Ed Carpenter, who everybody knows, lives in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. is also a team owner. He's very professional, very nice guy.
I mean, let's go out and say it. I think he might be our favorite owner.
Oh, he's absolutely my favorite owner.
And I think not only, well, for me, it's a big part is that he's an indie guy. He's a team owner from Indy. Like, this is the birthplace
absolutely.
Of racing. This is an owner from racing.
Absolutely.
And he's a quality guy.
He's a quality guy. Well, and he used to race for Sarah Fisher Hartman, which
yep.
we love Sarah Fisher as well. And he's a great driver.
He
I mean, that's another thing is that it's not just all of these things and he's a nice guy. Like, he's also a badass on the track.
Yeah.
But one of the things about Ed is that since he's an owner, he has tried to keep it professional and not swear and things. And, you know, during the Texas 600, the Clusterfuck 600,
yeah.
you know, he said TK's being a real wiener. We all got a good, you know. I mean, they obviously, his team got such a good laugh out of it. His PR person tweeted it.
Yeah.
And so he's known for not cussing. And the entire month of May, we never heard him swear once over the radio. Well, Sage Karam, who is a rookie this year,
And placed third.
Good. Got a podium finish.
Good place.
I mean, hell of a finish, especially for a rookie.
Yeah.
But he kept squeezing out Ed Carpenter. And Ed would be taking the high line, and Sage would be on the inside, but then would squeeze him up. And, you know, if you're on the high line and you're going to squeeze somebody down, they're going to go into grass or whatever.
Right.
Okay, I'm not saying you should squeeze anybody, but that's a better situation than you squeeze them when they're on the high line, you squeeze them into the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, you could cause a fatality. You could cause a horrible accident.
Yeah.
You could cause lots of injury.
Yeah.
So it's really just not okay to do that.
No, not at all.
But it is not something that IndyCar technically cites because I don't think it falls against any of their rules, which I think is bullshit. Ed definitely thinks it's bullshit, and we'll read more of his statement. But if you go to, you can find this clip on bleacherreport.com. Ed Carpenter, during this race, Sage Karam came over from the inside and started to squeeze him and got so close, they called it a hip check because it was like
yeah.
the back of their
yeah,
cars bumping.
Yeah.
It was a hip check. And Ed Carpenter, at 175 miles an hour, just pulls out the middle finger,
like
bigger than life. And
like
not
the
like
aggressive middle finger.
Yeah, like not the kind where like you pull it and wave it, like the kind where you pull it and
point.
Like you can almost, and you just point, you just hold it. Like if he was putting something on a table, it would be slammed down.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could almost hear the middle finger hit the air. It was thrown so hard.
Yeah.
And he held it there for a couple seconds, just hardcore, not having any of that.
Yeah.
And then Sage moves away, and then he comes back a little bit. And at that point, Ed had put his hands back on the wheel, and then he turned and he shook his fist at him. And there's video of this on bleacherreport.com, so look it up because it's fucking hysterical.
It is.
And I just love it because giving the middle finger is so cathartic. And obviously, we swear all the time. And so, especially when it comes from somebody who doesn't really swear. To then see
it's
him
like
just
coming to
flip
the
bird.
Side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, absolutely.
Ed, join us on the dark side. It is
come
so
to the dark
nice.
Side, Ed. And
also,
so,
come on this podcast.
Yeah, please. Well...
Well...
I'll Skype. I'll be at a remote location. I promise.
Okay.
But yeah, so our hashtag for Ed this week is... Hashtag, fuck you, fight me.
Yes.
Because that's what we feel. He was like, fuck you. And then Sage came back and he was like,
fight me,
bitch. Fight me. I wish a motherfucker would.
Because it almost happened after the race.
It almost did happen after the race. So that wasn't even the end of it. The race is over. Sage Karam is in pit row with some sports reporters and some cute girls there all talking about, oh, Sage, you did so well, blah, blah, blah. Ed comes marching down pit road like he is ready to beat somebody's ass. Everybody has seen that walk on somebody.
I thought he had a wrench. I was like, it's happening again.
He's about to go old school IndyCar.
Yes.
Yeah.
He pulled the
hashtag solve it with a wrench.
And I mean, he was pulling the hashtag Speedway Hood Rat.
He was total Speedway Hood Rat right there. He came straight out the trailer and he is just marching down pit row. And I know, I love that phrase. So he's marching down and these people are talking to Sage. He doesn't say, excuse me.
He
just walks in between them and starts laying in to Sage Karam. And
what is it that he told Sage? Because that's what he said to Sage is the greatest thing anybody can say to somebody slightly younger than them.
He said, you need to grow up.
Yes, and
I'm going to choose an expletive here because in the report it just said expletive, but I'm pretty sure this is what he said.
Cool.
So he said, you need to grow up. You were driving like a fucking weapon out there.
Oh, beautiful.
Which Sage did not seem to give a shit.
Yeah,
he didn't give a fuck.
That's because he's young.
And so they had interviewed Ed after that, and he said, you know, if it wasn't for guys with experience driving with their heads on, he would be hurting himself and other people. You know, and Carpenter said, I think it's ridiculous. Karam said, basically, you know, he's out there racing to win. It's a tough sport. Basically said, you know, this ain't go-karts or anything anymore, and tough luck for him. So Karam basically said, tough titties.
Because IndyCar won't do anything about it, which is interesting because after this happened, Ed went to IndyCar and was like, I don't know what the fuck sort of organization this is.
He then marched over to the competition commissioner, which he can do because he's an owner.
I would like to have that position. No, I actually just want to be race control.
Yeah, I just want to be race control.
Yeah, never mind.
But yeah, so after Ed marches down and gives the business to Sage Karam, then he immediately goes to the competition commissioner to talk about what bullshit it was.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and Ed said, you know, in his full interview, that basically if they don't change the rules and penalize guys for doing things like that, that put other drivers at risk, then they're not going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, again, Ed thinks that it should be a gentleman's sport.
Yes.
And this is a place where I'm going to agree with Ed on that.
Especially on that high line.
Right.
That is so much more dangerous than running somebody into the grass or into the off the track on the bottom. That high line, when you push somebody in the wall, God knows what can happen.
I mean, all kinds of crazy
not only
shit
the
can
driver
happen.
You're pushing into the wall, but every
all the drivers
single
behind
person
them,
behind
the
him.
The spectators around the track.
It's on your shoulders, and you need to think long and hard about that.
Yeah.
And that's
is almost, this where you want to be when Jesus comes back?
I mean, this is basically legal advice. Don't put somebody up there in the highlight.
No.
Don't do it.
I mean, I think that would take it from involuntary manslaughter to negligent homicide.
I would agree.
There we go. Attorney has spoken.
Fight me in court.
And I don't think that anybody ever, when people get pushed
I don't think
on the low line, I don't think that it's necessarily on purpose. But, you know, sometimes that's the way that your car goes. That's your line. And
that's also
you know,
the quicker way to pass somebody. So I could see trying to protect that lower line
absolutely. Trying to protect that low line aggressively. I understand that.
Right.
But when you're going high when somebody else is high, you're just being a dick.
Yeah, basically.
But because Ed was next to him and not behind him, it did not count as blocking. And I think that's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
I think that's chuckle fuckery.
Yes. I actually printed off all of the IndyCar rules and I will learn and memorize them. Shit's going down.
Well, I've looked at most of them. You know I got a photographic memory.
I don't and I've not looked at them either.
Oh no, I've studied in depth on the blocking and that is for a fact since he was next to him.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
I'm
like, no, I know that. It's also not against the rules in IndyCar to flip the bird.
Which is fantastic for us.
It is fantastic.
Put that in the how we could be a driver column.
Yes.
Because we can... Oh,
oh, and also, who else gave the sign? Pagano gave the European hand sign for fuck you.
Let's back up here. IMS social media account, which we love, by the way. Our favorite account. Whoever handles their Instagram and Twitter is not paid enough.
No. And we have said that time and time again. And I love that every time we tweet that, they retweet it.
Obviously.
I'm like, these are our people. Whoever you are that runs IMS...
Twitter.
Contact us.
Social media.
Well, I mean, yeah. whoever runs their social media, please contact us. Like, you don't even have to be on our podcast. We just like to have a beer with you.
Right. We'll buy it. It's fine. Absolutely. No, so, God bless them. I don't think they realized it. At one point, Pagano gave the European fuck off symbol to TK. But that symbol kind of looks like a wave if you don't know it correctly. So I'm like, oh!
Well, and I both know a lot of Europeans, so...
And I know how to say fuck you in a lot of languages. I am so sorry, Mom. You're probably just not learning this, but hey, it's okay. Yeah, they're like, oh, Pagano is waving at TK. Nope.
No, he's not.
No, he was not. So yeah, so two birds were flipped in that race. At least. At least.
Which I enjoy the European...
It's a good, like, it's a strong symbol, too. I'm okay with it.
It is.
It's like a comma or an exclamation point at the end of a sentence.
It really is.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm standing a little bit further away because I'm putting new ice in my drink.
Right.
To make another
Which
drink.
Is fine because you're loud enough to be heard across the room.
I'm loud enough to be heard across this fucking resort.
So final note, well, second to final note because we'll recap our bets. Elio Castroneves wins. And not Elio fans. Not Elio fans, but it was a big win for him.
It was a big win for him, and as a matter of fact, for all-time wins, that win put him, he was tied prior to this, and with this win, he surpassed Rick Mears' record for all-time wins. And Rick Mears is one of the few drivers that is in what we call the Indy 500 Club, and
yep.
That is drivers who have won four times. So, and also, fun fact, Rick Mears won the Indy 500 the year that Molly and I were born.
Don't look it up, you'll figure out how old we are.
Well, he won four times.
It was the last time. Let's just wink, wink. It was the last time.
It was the last time.
Yeah, sure. That's it. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my question
I think
is...
it really was the last time, though.
Damn it.
I know. I'm like, he didn't win in the 90s, Molly.
No! Do you think it's because maybe Elio uses more hair product now than Rick Mears did? It kind of boosted
them
up?
I mean, I think that definitely has something to do with it, because Rick Mears has fantastic hair.
It's fantastic hair.
And...
It's a mane.
It is. It is a mane. That is the perfect word
mm-hmm.
for it.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Elio, I don't know that I love his hair, but I know that he loves his hair. That's what I know about Elio's hair. And we actually have a meme that we can't ever show. But
no. But
there's a picture where Elio is like kind of smiling like with, I
Just
don't know.
Like the
with
hair.
Like joyous smile. And it almost looks like there's like a fan blowing on him. And so we have made multiple comments about that picture and ridiculous memes just about his hair. Like, the feeling I get when somebody brushes my hair. Like, so. And Joseph Newgarden actually ragged on him a little bit in an interview.
Yes!
And said that Elio has like 30 hair products in his travel bag. 30. And which... We found hilarious because we have always, I've said this before, I think that Elio would take longer to get ready than I do.
And I will say, we are in a tropic, humid climate. I have very curly hair. I have 3 hair products with me.
I have 2. One is a curling mousse
mm-hmm.
for my bangs because they've gone curly, and so the bangs are going
to
be down. I just throw the mousse in when I know I'm going to sweat because there's no point in straightening them, so I didn't even bring my flat iron.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have leave-in conditioner, and that's actually not for styling my hair. That's because it's because of the salt water.
Yeah.
And so I just cake it in before I snorkel or scuba dive, and then my hair doesn't feel like straw.
Yeah.
So, but it's not even like something that's part of my getting ready routine. It's like in the beach bag.
So he won, and good for him. I'm happy that he won.
Yeah.
I'm happy he won.
Yeah,
he got the spell.
I don't love Elio, but I don't hate him.
I don't hate him either. So as far as our bets are
And I do enjoy that he climbs the fence.
I like it.
I mean, he looks kind of like a spider monkey, but I'm into it.
They call him Spider-Man.
Oh, they do call him Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Greatest generation, my ass.
All right, well. So as far as our bets were concerned for this race, let's see. You got a point for TK finishing in the top 10.
I did.
I got half of a point for Elio on the podium. I had him in top 3.
Yep.
And diabetes lost because Connor did not finish.
Correct.
All right.
So
that was Iowa.
That was Iowa. Now, let's go into some of the other rumors and shit.
All right. So some of the other rumors and shit.
Other than Marco might be dropped, which, you know, maybe they're going to give him the... Juan Pablo Montoya treatment.
Well, you know, we at one point in the past week, I think one of us texted the other and said, hey, what happened to Juan Pablo Montoya?
Yeah, because it was like, we haven't seen him in any race. Well, as it turns out, he is only contracted to drive in the Indy 500.
That's it.
That is it.
That's his only race.
When his team initially told him that, he, in my mind, was like, fuck you guys. I'm going home. Like, I'll go to another team. And then he went to other teams, and they all were like, nah. So then he came on back and was like, hey, remember when I said I wasn't going to race for you guys anymore?
JK.
Like, you guys knew that was a joke, right? It was opposite day.
April Fools.
April Fools. So, some fun facts about Juan Pablo Montoya is that he is a fucking princess.
Yes.
And so our memes with Juan are from the year after he won the Indy 500. There were so many times that he had like a scowl on his face. And so we made memes that said, Juan is not happy.
And we will send that to each other when we've been having bad days.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then occasionally, if we're having a good day, we'll send Juan is happy with one with him smiling. They look almost like side-by-side photos, but like one he's smiling and one he's scowling.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, pretty fantastic. So Juan was probably not very happy.
Happy when I came down, no.
No, I'm sure
no,
not.
No, that was not. So that's not really a rumor, but we figured out what happened to Juan.
Yes. There can be only Juan.
Speaking of, Juan drove for Penske, didn't he? He did, because Newgarden replaced him.
Yes, that's right.
So speaking of Penske.
Speaking of Penske, there's a rumor that Roger Penske has not confirmed nor denied. He evaded the question.
Come on, Penske.
Right?
Come on, Roger. Grow a pair.
He.
That's right. I said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He evaded the question, but there's a rumor that they're going to go from four drivers down to three.
Which I think is what kind of was starting, because there's been rumors that Elio is the one who's going to be cut of all of the Penske drivers.
Which, I mean, I understand that he hasn't been racing as well, but I just don't know how you could cut Elio Castroneves.
I
cannot imagine that.
No. Business sense, driver sense.
Especially, I mean, he pulls a lot of fans.
He does.
And he has been with Penske.
Roger Penske is in his ear. Roger calls the race for, Roger is like his strategery.
Yeah. Guy. Oh, well, I mean, he's been with Penske, I think, his entire IndyCar career.
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah.
I mean, he has not been with any other team. It's not like he's been hopping around from team to team. He's been extremely loyal to Penske and has won them lots of races, lots of money, lots of sponsorship.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine. And then our other Penske drivers would be Will Power, which, hell no, you're not cutting him.
No. Pagano, who's really become very popular this past year.
He has become very popular, but he's always been a great driver. And he's doing quite well in the standings.
And Newgarden, who is new, but he's your newer driver up and coming.
Yes, and he does great on road courses. And
apparently younger children like Newgarden.
Because he's so pretty.
And he's young. I don't know.
He's just pretty.
Is he over 18?
Yes, he's over 18. He's like 24.
Please be 18.
Right. Please be 18. Please be 18.
I mean, if the rumor is true, and you're cutting that team down to three, I don't know how you make that cut.
I mean, I just can't imagine they would.
I can't.
Penske has four strong drivers, and
they've done very well this year.
They do. I can't imagine that they're losing money on any of these drivers.
God, if that's the case, it would almost be like, well, we got to pull a name out of a hat.
Right. Well, and I guess evade isn't really the right word for Roger Penske's answer. He basically, when they asked him point blank, he kind of laughed and he said, typically, we wait till the beginning of a new season to announce a new strategy. We wouldn't, not the middle of the season.
Yeah.
So, which, I mean, doesn't answer the question yay or nay, but basically says, if we were going to have that plan,
let's get through this season.
Like, if we were going to have that plan, why would we be telling everybody now? Like, by the way, one of you's donezo at the end of this season.
Right? I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
That racer had been like,
fuck you.
Have fun.
Right? That's like if you get fired on Tuesday and they're like, but you can go ahead and finish out the work week. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to steal everything in this motherfucking office. That's what I'm going to do.
Don't say steal. So that's the Penske rumor.
Commandeer? Is that a better word?
Disappear. Just make it disappear.
Okay.
Well,
I don't have to take it. I just don't want them to have it anymore.
Okay. I'm all right with that. That's a good phrasing. Here is the rumor that caused me almost to jump off the balcony.
Yeah.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
I almost jumped off the balcony of a room.
Yeah. Full on hyperventilating.
It did. It happened. There was, like, multiple news stories with multiple quotes from this driver. James Hinchcliffe wants to try NASCAR, and I said, no, the world is ending. No.
No.
No, we can't lose him.
No.
No!
We love Hinch so much.
But I feel a little bit better.
Yes, we researched a little bit more.
I read for realsies this time, and not just the headlines and cried. And he talked about, look, what he wants to do is try road course and NASCAR in their, like, second-tier Xfinity series. And in fact, per the Toronto Star and not the Indianapolis Star.
I've always wanted to try it, and a road course is the best way to ease into it. We want to do it right, but it's not something I am looking at in anticipation of a career switch.
So that made me feel a lot better.
Yeah. So you know what, Hinch?
Go for it.
If you want to join Tony Stewart and do the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 the same day, do it, baby.
I think you should.
Absolutely.
Ooh, he totally should.
He should.
Oh, my God.
He's got the skills.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Do it, bro.
Do it.
Yes.
Plus, you get helicoptered out of the track.
I mean, that's pretty badass.
But, like, not like when you got helicoptered last time and you almost died.
No, cool helicopter ride.
Cool helicopter ride.
You will be...
And it'll be a smoother ride.
You'll be conscious for this helicopter ride.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the track. It's fine. Do it,
and
bro.
Not bleeding profusely from your femoral artery.
Speaking of Schmidt-Peterson motorsport rumors, I don't know what happened with Michaela Lotion. Nobody knows what happened
with
Michaela Lotion. Here's what we know. He's not driving in Toronto.
Correct.
Sebastian Saavedra is replacing him. He will be there for the race, but he will be, quote, sitting out for the race for an unspecified reason.
Schmidt-Peterson will not comment on it, and Michaela Loesch will not comment on it, which to me, it sounds like when you get grounded and then your parents make you go to your siblings' like basketball game and make you cheer for them.
It's, but I will
it's
say.
It's not visa issues.
No, it's not
visa. Because he's going to be there.
And what kills me is that, like, I did some Googling.
Sure.
Because I was like, what the shit? I mean, what the shit? A Loesch's best place finish is 6th. Saavedra's best place finish for a road course is what I found was 15th.
So and that's who they picked?
That's what everybody's saying! Why? Why did they pick Saavedra?
That is fucking... Who else is on Schmidt-Peterson's team?
No, that's it. It's only Hinch and...
And Alotion?
And Alotion. Now, I know they've got lights drivers. Why didn't they bump up somebody from the Indy Lights League?
Yeah.
I mean, that
unless they don't have somebody that's ready, but...
I don't know.
I mean, because Saavedra has raced IndyCar before, and it is different.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's interesting. Or, again, I'm going to say it, James Davison.
Thank you.
That wily little Aussie is a hell of a driver.
He's a hell of a driver.
Oh, my gosh.
I really appreciated him at the Indy 500.
I mean, we discussed, he is our choice for Rookie of the Year.
100%.
He came in with complete badassery, total professionalism.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he cussed a lot because... He's an Aussie.
It's cool.
It's cool. I mean, I'm professional, but I say the fuck word a lot, okay?
It's cool.
But yeah, he's a great driver. And I think that I would love to see somebody give him a full-time ride. And so I think the more places that he could sub in to really prove himself, I don't even think he's been given a good opportunity.
No.
I hope that next year he gets a better opportunity. But yeah, why Saavedra when you got James Davison who is hungry?
Hungry.
He's hungry, as my mom would say.
As I just want to point this out as a segue into Toronto, some Russian shade, or since I grow it, some Russian sage, that's right, pun time, was thrown by Mikhail. Maybe not. Maybe he didn't mean to, but whatever.
He meant to.
He posted the times from, like, day one of quals. And all he did was put them up. Saavedra was 21 out of 21.
I mean, I think that comes from the book 1001 Ways to Say Fuck You.
Definitely.
That comes right out of that book. Didn't say a word.
Hey, here's the quals.
He just posted the picture. Didn't even have the whole list, or was it the bottom half?
It was everybody.
But at the bottom, the person who's replacing him for unspecified reasons. Like, that's like... Big middle fingers.
Big middle fingers.
Straight right up in the air.
That's Ed Carpenter middle fingers.
That's Ed Carpenter middle fingers.
So here's another rumor that almost caused me, I don't know, I think I went into seizures. It's again an internet rumor, so you know. Is it true? Is it not true? I don't know, but I'm going to report on it because I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't have any ethical obligation.
Yeah.
So the rumor is that Andretti Autosport, who are Honda-based, are going to be switching from a Honda engine to a Chevy engine. And as everybody who listens to this podcast knows, I am hashtag Team Honda all the way from start to finish. So it caused me multiple, like, seizures. Because the... Stop. The Honda engines, despite the kind of fuck-up they've been having for these past 6 weeks, are the more superior engine. They are. They are faster than the Chevy engine. You can hashtag fight Molly if you disagree, but I will win this argument 9 times out of 10. 10 times out of 10, I'm going to win. Second, if you start bitching about the aero kit, that Chevy's aero kit is better, blah, 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 that's why Andretti's making that call. You're stupid, because in 2018, everybody's going to have a universal aero kit because they're all switching to the Dallara.
Dallara.
Whatever. They're all switching to the Dallara aero kit. Third, I fucking hate Chevys.
I know. I will say...
Chevys. I don't want Rossi. I don't want RHR to be driving Chevys.
I know. I don't hate Chevys as much as Molly does in race cars. Personally, I hate Chevys. I wouldn't own one or drive one.
So we had to rent a car on our vacation because we're on an island and we needed a car to get around because
we like to do shit. We like to live our lives.
We're going to go exploring and... The nice lady checking us in, blah, blah, blah. Like, we were supposed to get, like, a compact, and it's like a Ford Focus. And I was like, cool, I've driven a Ford Focus. I know how to drive it, whatever. We get there, I'm checking us in, and she was like, so it's going to be a Chevy Cruze. And I was like, son of a bitch. Of course it's a Chevy.
Of course it's a fucking Chevy.
I think the first words out of my mouth to you when I exited the rental car place was, it's a fucking Chevy. Of course it's a fucking Chevy.
And I responded back, God damn it.
Get in the car.
Now, this is after 18 hours of traveling.
Yes. In an airplane. Ugh.
Three different airplanes.
Yes.
Because it's really far to go from Hawaii, or to go from Indiana to Hawaii.
Yeah, you can't just direct flight that.
No.
No.
And we were really trying to avoid LAX, because the only thing we hate more than Chevys
is LAX. Agreed. So we get in the Chevy, we're like, all right, get to our hotel. We start driving down. Air conditioning's a little hot, but hey... I was like...
We just turned on the car.
It's, you know, let it sit for a minute.
We're in a tropical climate. It's going to take a minute for things to cool down. Okay.
Okay.
And then we start realizing, as we try to, like, change the temperature and, like, change the intensity of the blower, there's nothing that's coming up on the screen to show us what's happening.
Because it's the newer Chevy where everything is up on that center mounted screen. Now, my Honda, which I love, hashtag Team Honda... is the older one where the controls are right there. They're numerical. You flip that little dial to whatever strength you want. You flip that.
And you can see what strength it is.
It's three. I want it on three. It's two. It's on two. This one, it's in that center display.
And.
Did not work.
It's not working. And there's no numbers on the dials.
No.
None.
You're just pressing buttons
and hoping. We're just blindly picking things. And so finally I'm like, okay, this is bullshit. I'm like, you have a fucking JD. I have a bachelor's degree in science. Like, we should be able to figure this out. And I grew up working on cars.
Yeah.
So, because I'm a girl and not a boy, instead of continuing to fuck with it, I opened the manual.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yep.
So I look it up, and I'm like, okay, this is what it should do. This is where it should display, and it's fucking not.
Yeah.
So, we call. Long story short, we end up getting our car switched out. But it was...
Complete fuckery.
Complete fuckery.
So then that rumor came out.
And then we were all like...
Foaming at the mouth.
Maldición!
Foaming at the mouth. Why? What?
Why? I mean, because we are just anti-Chevy at this point. Like...
Look, I know I throw some shade at the Andretti family. But please don't switch to Hondas.
No.
Please don't.
No.
Like, in the long run, that Honda engine is going to be better for your team. That's it.
It's true. Honda does have a better engine.
It does. I know they've got some shit going on this year, but they figured it out.
Yes.
And so they will fix it. It will be faster for you. Just don't do it.
Well, and if they're all going to the same body next year, then don't switch your engine when clearly Honda has a superior engine.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I like that they're all going to go to the same body style.
Yeah.
I like being able to mix it up. And in fact, I think you should be able... I don't think you should be required... Like, if you have a Honda engine, I don't think you should have to have a Honda chassis. I think you should be able to switch it up.
I think it makes sense.
I think it does. I mean, and you said earlier you don't think that Honda or Chevy would ever agree to that, but in the spirit of capitalism, if you allowed them to pick and choose, then I think that both of them would step up their game in the areas where they're lacking.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think it's a great idea, but I do not think you're going to get that to happen.
No, probably not.
All right, so on to Toronto. Like we discussed last time, it is a road course. There's 11 turns.
All right.
Turn one is a right-hand turn right off of a kind of a straightaway. They're going to say, they've been talking about that's the area where there's a lot of overtakes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Not actually, I guess, a lot of crashes in practice. I know that Esteban Gutierrez's crash was in turn 11, just kind of right before that straightaway.
It is.
Where his car caught on fire.
Yeah, that was quite the crash.
It was pretty intense.
It was. Again, I don't think that would have happened with James Davison.
Hashtag bring back James Davison.
Bring back Davison.
There you go, guys.
And for no other reason than because his dad is a character and he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we had so much fun with him at the banquet.
We really did. Yeah.
Like, aside from all of the other drivers that we met and whatever, he was, like, one of the highlights of the night.
He really was, because he was just telling stories.
Just telling stories, yeah.
Being kind of a squirrely dad.
Yeah, I mean, he was just that dad that just says everything he thinks, and
yeah,
that's both of our dads. So yeah. We were like, "Aww, can we come to Christmas with you?
We'll be cool."
Yeah, but James Davison is a good driver.
Yeah, he really is.
But yeah, no, Gutierrez. Yeah, he stuffed it pretty hard.
He did, and JR hit the wall.
He did. Although that one, it wasn't as intense.
No, he kind of like
he just like drifted. Like, it, okay, so it looked to me like how I feel. The times that, like, I've hit ice, and I'm trying to do everything I can, but my car just keeps going straight, and it just slides into a snowbank or off the road or whatever. And that's what it looked like. Like, he was just like, and just, like, just drifted into the wall.
What was funnier was Ed Carpenter's reaction.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Where did we find it? It was on YouTube, so we don't have it, but you should find it on YouTube, and maybe we'll, like, tweet it out. Because Ed is staring at the control TV.
Yeah. Staring at their monitor.
Whatever.
He sees it happen, and then you see him turn to look at a different monitor to be like, that can't possibly be what I just saw. Let me check another angle.
Like, my car did not... No, my driver did not hit a wall. No, he did. And then he looks at somebody else.
He looks at somebody else, and he's smiling, but, like, very carefully, his mouth... Like, you can just see out of the corner that he's smiling, but you can't see any of the words that are coming out of his mouth. And based on what he said last week, I imagine that Ed's still...
A little feisty?
Yeah. A little loose with the lips at this point.
It might have been, tell that blankety-blankety not to do that again.
Right?
Please
tell him these cars aren't blanking free.
That's coming out of his paycheck.
His blanking paycheck.
Now I gotta decide what kid to send to college. That's right.
Hope you're happy, JR. Now I can only afford to send one of my kids to college.
Now they hate you, Uncle JR.
Which, by the way,
yeah,
I want to mention this about JR. So, JR Hildebrand, he's got the longer hair.
Yes.
And there is a Twitter account dedicated to his hair that's called, like, JR's Mullet or something, which is just hysterical.
Gold.
Oh, it's solid gold. But it's not really a mullet because it's all long.
Right.
And as we all know, a mullet is short because it's business in the front, party in the back. But he's got all long. But he wears, you know, the hats all the time when he races. Well, obviously his helmet, and then he puts on, you know, sponsor hats. But I believe that J.R. Hildebrand is a low-key hipster. I believe that he's an undercover hipster.
I bet so.
And that at some point we're going to see him with a top knot on his head.
A little man
I'm
going to
lose. Yeah, a little man bun, and I'm going to lose my shit.
I mean, let's just hashtag it out, man bun watch.
Yeah, man bun watch.
Go for it.
Okay.
It can happen, guys.
Yeah.
And when it
and
does,
if you see J.R. Hildebrand in public with a man bun and you don't take a picture and tweet it to us,
I will be hurt.
Hurt. Take it personally. And you should be ashamed of yourself.
Ashamed. No, I agree. I think low-key hipster on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
So, let's see. We covered this all last time, but it's been a little bit.
It has.
Power 1 in 16, New Garden in 15, Conway and Bourdais in 2014, and then Dixon won of both years in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we're recording this on Well, it's still Saturday where we are.
It is. We had to take a little break because we had a lovely seafood buffet dinner that we had to go to.
I mean, we had a reservation.
We had a reservation.
I ain't missing that seafood on an island.
Hell no.
Will I eat seafood in Indiana? No.
I mean, I will, but...
Only if it's the Long John Silver.
Yeah, we both have a secret guilty pleasure of Long John Silver's.
Well, it's not a secret anymore.
You know what? If we were the only ones, Long John's wouldn't still be in business. Okay, there are plenty of people who love Long John Silver's.
Multiple guilty people out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lisha's the only person who might even love it more than you and I do.
Wow. Yeah. That's hard.
And you know you're a hardcore Long John Silver's fan when you go there and you order. First off, you never go inside.
No.
No. Because you don't want to look people. It's like you, like, close all the blinds before you watch Cheaters on TV, okay? Like, you don't really want other people to see you, but you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And you go through and you order what you order, and then you say, with extra crunchies, please.
Oh, my God.
Which is just deep-fried batter. It's just deep-fried batter. I love the crunchies.
You know they used to just sell them by themselves.
They still do.
What?
Yeah.
It's an off-menu thing?
Oh, yeah.
Ah!
If you catch the right person at the right time of day, they'll just give them to you for free.
That's true.
But yeah, extra crunchies.
Awesome.
For when you think that your heart attack can't come soon enough.
Because when you want to really, really regret that decision tomorrow morning.
Right? Yeah, the problem with Long John's is that when it comes out the other end, it feels like it's the temperature of the oil that everything was deep fried in.
Well, first for our podcast, we're not talking about shit. Nope, we already talked about it. I take that all
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I'm like, that no. can't possibly be true. I'm like, I'm a nurse, and I talk about poop all the
time. We've already talked about poop.
I think about poop all the time.
Yeah, we've already talked about poop.
Yeah.
So we miss Qualls.
So yeah, so we've been on vacation. I went scuba diving today.
Yeah.
Yes, with Kohala Diving, or Kohala Divers. They are on the northern end of... the northwest end of the Big Island of Hawaii, the actual island of Hawaii. So if you come out here, I definitely recommend Kohala Divers. I had a great time. My dive guide was wonderful. The captain was great. I mean, all the crew was wonderful. And it's actually Women's Dive Day today.
Well, there you go.
By Patty. And so they really catered to the females. I got a nice little lei when I showed up and a little cinch bag.
Oh, cool.
A nice like neoprene strap for my mask so that I can switch out my rubber one so that it doesn't rip my hair out every time I put it on and off, which is very nice.
I thought you were about to say knife, and I was like...
No, I don't think they give away... No, knives are expensive, dive knives.
Yeah.
Which, funny story. So I packed all my own scuba gear because I'm that person. I brought it with me. We get here, and I'd forgotten where I put one of my dive knives. And so, as you know, Molly's an attorney, and I said... shit, I think I lost a knife. And she goes, speaking as your legal counsel, that is never a phrase that I want to hear come out of your mouth.
No, because it's gonna wind up in a murder.
Right? I was like, no, it wasn't that kind of a knife. I mean, my other two are definitely sharp enough to kill you, but that particular one has a blunted edge.
Uh-huh.
So, but I did find it. It was just in a different pocket. But yeah, so that's what I did. And then Molly...
drove up to Hawaii, which is the northernmost point of Hawaii, the island that we're on. Then I went to Kapa'a, the beach park, Mahukuna beach park. So they're just two nice beach parks. And then Lapakahi, which is a state historical park. And it's like an older village from like the original inhabitants of the island. And then I ended my day hour hike at the botanical garden.
Which you said was gorgeous.
Gorgeous. A hike, but such. I didn't write it down. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. So the historical park.
Mm-hmm.
What all was there? Like.
So you kind of walked through and it was like remnants of the houses, like where they their canoes. You could see like where they would launch the canoe from.
Oh, very cool.
Nice. Very nice. Kind of tucked, like, middle of nowhere.
Yeah, just kind of tucked in like a well-kept secret almost.
And since it was like 8:30 in the morning, it was me.
Yeah.
And the Hawaii DNR guy. Who was just sitting in his truck, and I was like, it's cool, bro.
Right?
I'm not going to do anything.
Throw the peace sign. I mean, that's got to be the best job ever to be DNR in Hawaii.
I imagine. Well, I don't know. I bet there's some volcano shit you got to deal with.
Yeah, but not very often.
Goats.
Yeah, there are goats all over the place on this fucking island, by the way.
Everywhere.
Like, just, I we don't know if they belong to a farm, if they're free range, but every time we drive down this main highway, Queen something that we can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Queen Kamanawanalea. we see these random ass goats, and there's signs for donkeys, and it says like donkey crossing, and we've yet to see a donkey, but we've seen like 50 fucking goats.
Yeah, they moved all the donkeys. Found this out at the botanical gardens.
Oh, so those signs are old.
Yes.
So there used to be donkeys
there? There used to be donkeys, but because donkeys and cars don't mix.
Yeah, because yeah, donkeys aren't very smart.
The donkeys would just come off down the mountain, get some water, come on back up the mountain. But they had to cross the highway.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Did you ask about the goats?
She just said they're all wild goats.
Are they all wild?
Yeah.
See, that's even more terrifying. Because goats can be kind of aggressive.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't give a fuck on violence.
They have horns.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm.
Even like people's goats that they have on a farm that like know them, will let you pet them, they still don't give a fuck.
No, you gotta be like...
They're like a honey badger.
None given.
None. Alright, so anyway, so that's what we did today. So if you ever come to Hawaii, check out those places.
Yeah, so weren't able to watch quolls. Also, I wasn't able to listen to it on IndyCar radio because I had no signal.
I wasn't able to listen to it because I was 80 feet below the surface of the water.
So you also had no signal.
I did have signal. Well, my phone had plenty of signal on the boat, but I do not have a scuba dive certified case for it.
Ah, okay.
Nor would I give a fuck if I had one, because believe me, when I'm underwater, I don't give a shit about anything else that's happening.
I can understand that completely.
Best thing ever, and I don't care about anything else.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Four quals. Pagano was one.
All right.
Who unfortunately did not win at the ESPYs, and I'm a little upset about that.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton from F1 won, and, you know. Formula Un can, like, leave.
Yeah.
Just go.
GTFO.
Ray Hall is two. Kester Nevis is three, which is weird on a road course, I think, for Elio.
That is. That's unusual for him, because that's really not his strong suit. Although, maybe he's really trying to push it, since those rumors are coming out. He's going to be getting rid of that. Roger Penske's like, going to be dropping a driver.
I got to look good. Got to look good.
He's like, shit, I won this last race. I better do well now. I'm not getting any younger. Plus, Newgarden outed him this week on his hair products and mentioned that he thinks that Elio should let the gray go and become a silver fox. And, I mean, I am not surprised in the least that Elio dyes his hair.
None.
And I suspected that, but I'm pretty sure he didn't need Newgarden confirming that. In front of God and everybody.
On, like, it was IndyCar.
Yeah, like, TV. On a, yeah, national, yeah, sports news. Yeah, sportscast.
So, Kester Nevis is third. Will Power is fourth.
All right.
Dixon's fifth. Hinch is sixth in his hometown, so get it, Hinch.
Get it, Hinch. Yeah, that's right, because he's Canadian.
He is Canadian.
Oh, I hope he got a big warm welcome.
I think that he did.
Okay, because I know, like, Sato, after he won the Indy 500, went back to Japan, like, they went apeshit. Like,
well, he hasn't won it yet.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying. But still,
like this.
I mean, if there was a race in Japan, I imagine that Sato's welcome pre-race
would be a huge deal. Yeah.
So I'm sure they did. I mean, Canadians are nice.
They're very nice people.
They're very nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have legal marijuana and they're pro-gun.
How can that not be great?
Right? Because you know what you're not when you're high? Angry.
No.
That's why they don't have as many gun deaths. People are too fat and tired to go out and commit any crimes.
Well, there you go. We have solved the problem, everyone.
There you go.
So he's Hinch is sixth. Newgarden is seventh.
All right.
Rossi is eighth.
Okay.
Our favorite serial killer.
Which, I mean, he's been doing better.
He's killed.
He had a little bit of a lull. Yeah, he clearly.
I mean, yeah. Obviously he's.
He's got his mojo back, so clearly he's killed somebody.
There's a body somewhere.
Again, have still not seen the woman that he took. To the banquet. Have not seen her again. Just putting it out there. IMPD might want to look into it.
Just saying. Perhaps we should solve the murder.
Well, I'll tell you what. Right after and I'm sure that he hasn't listened to this podcast, but hell, maybe he has. But right after we started this podcast and we started joking about how he looks like a serial killer in every photo, he then started
smiling
in every photo. I thought...
I said
are
it
we,
to you.
Yeah, you said. You said. You think we're responsible for this? Like now he's smiling, and if we are, I think that's awesome. But also, if you are listening, Rossi, your smile still looks just as creepy.
I can't say anything. I don't smile well.
I know. I only smile well because my mom trained me to. Like she sat me and my sister in front of a mirror as children, and she was like, "Now smile," and we smile. She's like, "Look at that. Do you like how that looks?" No. All right, then change it. And then she made us practice, and she's like, okay, remember how that feels. And every time you smile for a picture, make that same motion. And she literally had to sit and, like, do muscle memory and smile in front of a mirror over and over and over again, which seems kind of ridiculous. But I'll tell you what, anytime, day or night, if you say time for a picture, 1, 2, 3, my sister and I will give a great smile. No matter how half asleep we are, no matter how drunk we are, no matter where we are, and it will be the same smile in every single photo. So, kind of weird, but paid off in the long run. So, Rossi, if you want some lessons, I'm sure my mom would be happy to teach you how to smile.
Jesus.
But you cannot kill her. No. She's the only parent I have left, for Christ's sake.
No. No killing Birdie.
Actually, I'd like to see you try. She's 6 feet tall. That bitch would smack you. She would just break you like a twig. Snap you like a twig. That'd be hilarious. I could just see her, like, with her hand on his forehead and him running, trying to run forward, trying to hit. And she's like, he'll tire himself out eventually. I'm getting more liberal with the comments about my mom because
she's not gonna listen.
She's not gonna listen. So.
Yeah, but mine do.
I know.
They won't snitch. Don't worry.
Even if they do, there's no way that they can possibly remember everything.
No.
So when mom asked me about it, I'll just give her a brief synopsis that doesn't sound as bad.
There you go.
But she will enjoy that comment that I said she could snap Rossi like a twig. I mean, she will enjoy that. Because I've heard her say that about people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard her say that about people she doesn't like, who give her attitude. I've heard her say, I could snap her like a twig. I don't know why she's giving me sass.
So Rossi's 8.
Going back. Okay, so Rossi's 8. He's clearly killed somebody because he's doing better. All right.
Mad Max Chilton is 9.
Mad Max. All right. He hasn't placed that well in a while.
Yeah, he's not. All right.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for you, Max. Sato is 10.
Okay.
And,
I'm surprised he didn't do better, because he's done Formula 1, whatever. But, you know, he still is probably working on the neck thing.
He probably have that neck issue, and...
Yeah, we should look into that.
He didn't crash out. Never mind. No. I was like, maybe he... No, he didn't crash out.
No, he didn't crash. Yeah. Yeah, he has a...
That pinch neck thing,
working
on
that neck thing.
Oh,
yeah.
That's hard to get behind.
Yeah.
And, by the way, hold on to your clit. Marco is 11.
Shut your face.
Yes, he is.
Shut your face.
Yes.
He's really trying to keep that ride.
He does not want to give up his job.
He doesn't. He heard the rumors, and he's like, Dad, are you really going to cut me? And he's like, Michael probably said, well, just get out there and do your best.
Which is Dad speak for. Bitch, absolutely. I might.
Yeah. Bitch, I might.
I might. So, he is 11th. Your boy TK is 14th.
Ugh.
I know.
Who are 12 and 13?
Well, now you're going to make me flip. 12th is J.R. Hildebrand.
All right.
13th is Spencer Piggott.
Okay.
Or as you like to say, Pigot.
I know. His name, it's Piggott, P-I-G-O-T. But it's a friend, I get that he is from the States.
Yeah, he's from Florida.
He's from Florida.
Orlando, Florida.
Which is why they pronounce that name wrong. I'm sorry. It's a French name. It should be pronounced Pigot.
So, that's your quals.
All right.
So it's time to place our bets.
Okay, so our new prediction format, we're each going to pick first place, top five, top 10, and first out.
Yes.
Okay. You go first, since you knew the qualifying order before me, so.
Okay. I am feeling extra generous today. I'm kind of making a decision with my, like, my feelings and not my heart.
Okay.
But I really feel like Kinch is going to get first.
I hope he does, in his hometown.
He's been doing well. I think he's been on the uptick. You know, he's placed 6th.
Mm-hmm.
It's his hometown. There's that whole hometown advantage. I think he's due for a podium win again this year. So
I think
I'm thinking this is going to be it for him.
Okay.
So I have him first. I've got Newgarden top 5.
All right.
I've got TK top 10. And then my first out is Marco.
Oh, he's going to stuff it for sure.
Because he's going to try and push it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to stuff it.
Push it right into a wall. He's going to stuff it.
Stuff it right into a wall.
He's going to stuff it hard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I will shit a brick if he doesn't stuff it tomorrow.
Wow.
I mean, I can't really guarantee that. Well, I don't know. We ate a lot of food tonight. Maybe I can.
A lot of seafood.
Okay. I'm going to say for first, I'm going to go Pagano.
Okay.
Because you know what? He's had a really strong season. I mean, this last couple weeks he's been doing well. And our last rope course, he was quite the creeper. I mean, he was just moving through, sneaking up on people.
Very sneaky. He's a very sneaky man.
And coming for you with power. So I'm going to say Pagano in first place.
Okay.
I'm also going to say Newgarden top five.
Okay.
Because he also does better on road courses.
Very well on road courses.
He did really well at the Kohler.
Yes.
He came in second. And he fought hard. Mm-hmm. And I think had that race been, even five laps longer, Dixon may not have won. So great. I think Newgarden is top five for sure. And then for my top 10, I'm going to say Hinch in the top 10.
Okay.
I don't know that he's necessarily going to win, but I think he's going to place in the top 10.
Right.
I would love to see him win. Sure. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I get that.
And then my first out, I'm going to go with Hildebrand, since it looks like he just drove his car gracefully into the wall.
Just like a ballet move.
It was the most graceful crash ever.
It really is.
And I feel like that's probably why Ed was like, are you fucking kidding me?
He's like, you couldn't have turned the steering wheel? That's probably what he said. This fucker here can't turn.
This motherfucker right here?
Couldn't turn. You know, that's what he got on the radio. Can you not turn?
Right. You're driving like a wiener. Which, fun fact we learned today, Hildebrand, after the whole wiener incident.
I don't know if it's after or not.
Well, I don't know if it's after or not, but he has the word wiener on his helmet. What does it say, like?
World's fastest wiener is for, it is a German schnitzel.
Yeah.
Is what I'm guessing.
Interesting.
I saw it. I can see it, but I can't see it.
World's fastest wiener. That's hilarious.
I mean, I love it.
That's hilarious. Although, also not something you would typically advertise. Moving on.
So we've got the map. The map is actually on our Instagram. I posted it last night on the way to the bachelorette party because we're starting something now where I'm going to be drawing the tracks.
And we're going to see Molly's artistic skills.
Yeah, I have none. None. It's going to be great.
Better than what I would do. I'll tell you that.
It's like the fifth time.
Yeah, see, I don't even have that kind of determination. I'd do like one and a half and I'd be like, fuck this shit.
You'd be like, I'm out.
Just pull a photo off the internet. That's me.
Yeah.
All right. Upcoming schedule. Come and see us.
Yay.
All right. July 22nd, 23rd. Hashtag Can We Survive NASCAR. So Molly and Rookie of the Year Audi are going to go to the 400 Fan Fest on Saturday night. Unfortunately, you cannot take coolers in the concert area, which is horseshit.
Kind of pissed about that, Emma.
Yep.
IMS. Just saying.
Yep.
I can bring it to Carb Day.
Yeah.
What the hey?
I know. Stupid. Stupid.
Absolutely.
And then for the Brickyard 400 on Sunday the 23rd, we are sitting in Southwest Vista. See, I won't give you the specific session number in case there's any like weirdos out there, but we will be in the back row.
Like Rossi.
Right? Oh, well, I mean, there'd be a lot of witnesses.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably the safest place for us to meet Rossi. But we'll be in the back row of one of the first five sections.
Okay.
So come and find us.
Yeah.
We will be either totally checkered out or totally white trashed.
One of the two.
Maybe a combo of both.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We haven't completely decided on outfits, but it'll be something that matches, and either way, it'll be fabulous and ridiculous at the same time.
Dirt ball chic.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll be a checkered outfit with, like, my crimped hair and a thick scrunchie from the 80s. I don't know.
Depends. Just depends. Let's see, and then the week after that, we are going to the Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio.
Woo! Yes, we are.
This is our first road on the road. Well, actually, it is a road course, too, isn't it?
It is. It's our first road. Well, we saw the Indy GP.
We saw the Indy GP, but it's our first road course.
Yes.
We're on the road. It's our first road course on the road.
Yep. We're
going to
take a road trip. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
So we're going to camp Saturday through Sunday.
Yep.
And do quals and all that business.
So, like, hit us up. You know, I guess you can slide into DMs. Or you can email us.
You can slide into my DMs. I'll respond to you. Molly can't work the DM, but I'll respond.
I have no idea what it
means. Slide on into those DMs, baby.
Somebody DM'd us. All right, cool. What am I supposed to do with
this? She's like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah.
So, if you're going, let us know.
Yeah, love to meet people.
Yep, and we're going to do some Facebook Living, some interviews with fans there. So, if you listen to us, or if you know, and you're going to go, or if you know somebody who's going to be there, have them hit us up.
Yeah. love to talk to him.
We'd meet up with him, yeah, anytime during the weekend and chit-chat and drink a few beers and have a good time.
There you go.
And then August 26th,
yep,
you and Rookie of the Year Audi are going to go to the Bomarito 500.
In St. Louis. Haven't quite worked it out. I know we'll probably go all day Saturday because it's a Saturday race. It's an evening race. So we'll be there Saturday.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, probably stay there Saturday. Maybe do a little sightseeing.
Absolutely. You got to go to the Arch.
Obviously.
There's a Six Flags there, too.
Well, we probably won't go to the Six Flags.
Okay. Just saying.
Yeah.
It was fun.
We'll sightsee.
But yeah, the Arch is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been. I don't think she has, so we're going to see some stuff.
Very nice.
So, again, look for us. I'm going to make her wear a shirt that says Rookie of the Year.
Absolutely. No, she gets a shirt that says Rookie of the Year for sure.
It's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, definitely look for them. All right. Don't forget to rate our podcast, guys. We're aiming for 5 stars, and please subscribe. Do that by going to iTunes or Google Play and searching for Fast Cars, Fast Girls. Click on the subscribe button. We're on nearly all podcast sites now, and we've got even more great shit coming up.
Yeah.
Because we wake up in the morning, and we piss excellence.
We are the best that ever was.
I'm the best there is, plain and simple. So you're welcome to use any of our stuff. Any of our quotes, any of our memes, any of our pictures, absolutely welcome. Just please credit us, because if not, I'm going to sick my attorney on you.
And I'm feeling litigious.
She is feeling litigious.
I'm rest, relaxed, and ready to go.
All right. Follow us. Hit us up on social media. You can ask us questions. It says promise we'll answer, but it's dicey this week. Maybe next. I mean, well, we'll probably answer this week, but we'll probably be drunk. But after this week, when we're off on vacation,
and, like,
we'll legitimately answer.
A weird time zone. We're 6 hours behind.
Yeah, it's like 6 hours and like 7 minutes. Like, it's something bizarre.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know there's a minute involved.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But there totally is. Okay, so Twitter, @FastCarsN317. And the N is I-N.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, FastCarsFastGirls. Tumblr, FastCarsFastGirlsN317. And let's
email
fastcarsfastgirls317@gmail.com. As always, if you are a woman in racing or know any women involved in racing, please contact us if you'd like to be part of this, or if you think you know somebody that might want to be part of it, contact us, let us know, we'll do all the legwork. Or if you have any thoughts or suggestions, people that you'd like to hear us try and get a hold of, because we're going to try and get some retired drivers and some up-and-coming drivers. Here in the coming months.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we're going to let the season in, and then we're going to start doing some big shit, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We're fine. All right.
Well, on that note, we're going to go enjoy the rest of our vacation.
We are.
And we'll be talking with you after Toronto.
All right. You guys have a great week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.